Welcome back to Be Fit with Brian Pruitt. I'm your host, man, and this podcast is all about getting and staying fit for life, physically, mentally, spiritually, maximizing everything you have and everything you are. All right, today, man, an episode super powerful. I sat down with the one and only Alex Morgan. And when I say one and only, I mean it is not the soccer player. It is my buddy here in town. And so we had a great conversation about fatherhood, business, mindset, spirituality, purpose, the whole nine. But what we really landed on, and I think it's going to be powerful for you to listen on this conversation, is the limitations of self-improvement, the limits on self-help. So there is this middle ground, and I'm gonna shut up here in a second and let you listen. But the middle ground is, look, there are limitations to the self-improvement movement. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because you becoming more you, it requires you improving on what you are now. It requires you becoming more through reading, through seminars, through education, through getting in circles and in rooms with men and women who are more wise and more full of knowledge than you are currently. That's what it's about. And so I don't minimize the self-improvement movement. However, there is a limitation to it, because the downside, quite simply put, is if we are just always not content, we're always chasing the carrot in front of us, we're never fulfilled, we're never like complete, we're never fully satisfied or content, we may get to the end of our lives realizing, man, I missed the point. You know, I had so much, but I didn't realize it. So that's the purpose of this episode. That is why I had this conversation with a good friend of mine, Alex Morgan, who's a business owner. He's a leader of people, leader of men. He's a man of faith, man of God. He is humble. He is driven. He's gifted in so many areas of life as a father, husband, and a leader. And so this conversation, I hope, gives you life, gives you wisdom. I know it will help you get and stay fit physically, mentally, spiritually, because we talked about all of those things. So without further ado, enjoy this conversation. I hope it builds you and equips you and empowers you to become more you. All right, Alex Morgan. Man, for those listening, we got Alex Morgan right here. And I know there's people disappointed because I'm not talking to the actual Alex Morgan. She looks a bit different, I will say.
A little different.
But no, Alex Morgan, man, sitting down with you, brother, it's a pleasure. I'm stoked. I'm honored. So much wisdom. I look up to you in many ways. In a lot of different ways, but man, I'm excited to talk about everything today. We'll focus in on your story, maybe business, fatherhood, but the main idea will be the limitations of self-improvement. Mm. So yeah, man, but how's everything going, man? How's life? This is December. How you feeling? New year.
So good. Yeah. I feel like we're in a really good season of life. And by the way, just, I look up to you a lot too. And seeing a lot of, you're the youngest guy in our Friday morning group, and you have so much wisdom for someone your age, and wow, a lot of us look up to you. So I want to you know, edify you in that.
I paid him to say that, by the way.
That's right. not enough.
We'll pump that up.
Yeah, that's right.
Depending on how this goes.
Depending. But no, right now I feel like we're in a really good place. I feel like God's just really stirring my heart, feeling very blessed, challenged, all the things. But I feel the most peace, rest in my soul that I have felt in a very long time.
Yeah.
And that will kind of unfold
naturally
because of the conversation we're going to have. So
that's amazing. And so you're 41.
41. Thank you for stating that.
So yeah, you're old. Yeah, no, no, dude, you're just hitting your stride.
I actually am, but are you? I don't feel like it.
No. Dude, to me, it's like you're hitting your stride. Like 30, yeah. 30, I really do feel like I am in my best kind of, shape, but I'm not just saying physical. I'm talking like I feel more aligned than I ever have been. Mm. And I think, I mean, at least as men, you and I, like as Christians specifically, like, why wouldn't things continue getting better? Like, no, it's not going to be perfect. We're going to go through stuff, but ultimately, are we The goal is to become more loving, more generous, more surrendered, more at peace, right? Mm-hmm. More full of grace and truth. So, like, so technically, like, yeah, our bodies might, like, you know, you might wake up with a little bit more, like I woke up with a little backache on my 30th birthday, but that doesn't mean I'm like, you know, I'm falling apart because my whole, everything else is getting better, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. I think it is a paradigm shift too, where I know for me, as I've gotten older, it's been harder physically mm-hmm. to stay in shape and do the things, but that's also a good thing because I've added more things. It's not as easy. So now I have to add different things and focus more on sleep hygiene and all these different things like the cold plunge. Mm. But mentally, spiritually, wisdom wise, like it, you're right. It is, it is only getting better.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. So successful. I mean, and business wise, like, I can't wait to get in some of the business stuff.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, man, like tell me about, like, for those of the listeners who don't know, you know, you from Adam, like, tell me a little bit, like, you grew up in Florida.
Sarasota.
Yeah, so you're born and raised in Sarasota. What was your childhood like? You know, were you, because myself, I was freaking ultra competitive, played all the sports, and was a hothead. I have a tiny feeling you were very similar.
There is definitely some similarities.
Yeah.
I grew up in an amazing household. My mom and dad are still married. This past September, they celebrated 43 years of marriage.
Wow.
Solid Christians. So grew up in a Christian household. My mom's father was a pastor. So just kind of painting the picture of the house I lived in, lots of love. So it was amazing. And I look back now, at what they gave me, and I don't think that I really understood what they were giving me at the time. But I was an athlete. I played soccer and baseball, fairly competitive.
Yeah.
Like, I liked to win. Achievement is a, you know, if you're familiar with Enneagram, and we can talk about that, we'll probably get into a lot of that stuff, but like Enneagram 3, it's all about the achievement.
The achiever, literally, right?
The achiever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, that was definitely a big part of my life. I'm trying to think what else.
It's interesting, by the way, just side note, that your parents gave you something that didn't come easy, number one, and you didn't know what it was, like how valuable it was when you were a kid. I think a lot of people resonate with that, myself included, but it also speaks to the fact that, you know, I'd love to talk about self-perception and even the identity and the belief piece, but right now, it's like I feel like if people knew how much they were valued, right, in the sight of God, if they knew their true worth and value, they'd be living life a little bit different.
That's 100% true. And I think that took me a long time to understand. And being like my personality, I'm naturally bent. I have this natural propensity to focus on achievement and want to win, and also having not even consciously thinking that love or acceptance is tied to achievement. Like, oh, my parents, I come home and you get it's a conditional behavior, right? Like I come home with good grades and I get praise from my parents and I get different treatment. It's like, okay, if I do that, then I get this, then I get this kind of treatment or this acceptance or this love.
Yes.
Same thing with sports. So for me, that has been something that I've had to undo as an adult, and also really resting in who I am, a child of God.
Yeah.
You know, this unconditional love. So I think that my identity, that's a really, really big part of, like, kind of growth that I've gone through.
Yeah.
I think something that my parents gave me too. I was never the smartest kid in the room. And as school was very hard for me,
same
dyslexic, bad memory, like all the things, like
class clown or no?
No,
troublemaker?
Definitely not. No, I wanted to, I mean, I always liked humor and joking around and stuff, but like, I wanted to be the smartest kid in the room. I wanted to get the grades. So my mom, and if we're stereotyping, you know, German, you know, she emigrated over here when she was two, like very stereotypical German. It's like, we do not accept anything less than A's in this household.
Wow.
and you can do it. I do not accept that you say that it's too hard. Like, you just have to work harder. Uh-huh. So that was like, it was very easy for me to understand at an early age. It's like, oh, I want to play shortstop for, you know, for my little league team or Babe Ruth, and I want to start. But that guy's better than I am, so I'll just work harder because he's probably not willing to get up earlier. Mm-hmm. Or and even in school, the same thing. Like even through college, I mean, I went to Pineview, surrounded by genius kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, never the smartest kid in the room,
but smart enough to get into.
Smart enough to get in, and that's and we'll qualify that too. Like God, I recognize that. Like God has given me talents, and that's another growth part for me too. Was why couldn't I be smarter? Why couldn't have you give me a higher IQ so things could be easier? Why couldn't you make me more talented in this? And you know, it's like, can you imagine saying that to God face to face?
Wow.
You know, like, wait a minute, I gave you all these talents and now you're complaining.
It's pretty ballsy.
Yeah. Well, and also pretty foolish too.
No doubt. Very limited in perspective.
Right. So that's been a big part of my, as far as mindset goes in my success is recognizing my limits or limitations. And it's like, well, I can put the work in. I can put the work in and achieve the things that I want to achieve with some hard work and dedication. So I think that was a big part of my childhood too.
Yeah. I wish I was more like you, to be honest, in that way, because I would have been a way better baseball player if I really just took that strategy of like, okay, I'm not the most talented, but I'm gonna freaking be the hardest worker on the team.
So what stopped you from doing that?
I think I self-sabotaged. Like, I think we all do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I trusted in my ability, and I did work hard. I put in the work, but I don't know. It wasn't one of those things where I was always the first one there, last one to leave. You know, I had other priorities like literally just being able to hang out. So like with Gigi, we started dating even after, that was after my sophomore year. But you know,
so
hanging out
still
with
playing
her.
Still playing ball.
Yeah. Played 2 years at Coastal, 2 years at FGCU. And I think it was just priorities. Like again, I crushed like hell weeks and stuff. So standards of fitness, I'd blow through. I'd feel really good. You know, I remember doing like a wall sit with my buddy Sterling. If he's listening, that'd be hilarious. But because he would remember, we sat in the wall for like, I don't know, 20 minutes. You know, we kind of readjusted. We kind of like, but it was a mental thing where it was iron sharpening iron. I just kept. We just kept going, and you rise above because you're expected, or you're looking across the way and you see someone else still hanging. You're like, well, I can go.
I can do this.
Yeah. But I don't know, Alex. It's like one of those things where it's hard. Did I do everything, every single thing in my ability, in my power to make the most and maximize my gifting on the field? I can't say without a doubt 100% yes. And that kind of eats me up a little bit. And I think that's what I bring to the table in terms of business and life and fitness and wellness is mindset is huge. It's huge. It's the most important thing because if you get great results, what's going to sustain those? It's your mindset. It's the mentality you continue to keep. No doubt. It's the identity. It's the belief. Yep. So I think I wasn't as laser focused on the right things maybe as I should have been. Does that make sense?
It totally makes
sense.
Yeah. I think too that you can, like, I know I will get very caught up in the achievement and being able to overcome, and like I will outwork, I'll outwork, just put in the effort, do the things, go through the steps, the 7-step process, or whatever it is, use this strategy and then these tactics. But then I'll miss the forest for the trees. Where abiding in Christ and seeking first the kingdom of God. And you can get, I think that like one of my primary Bible verses that I use to kind of filter my life through, or you talk about like your ultimate mission, is, you know, well done, thy good and faithful servant, the parable of the talents, Matthew 25. And I want to be a good steward, but I think what happens is you can get too caught up in that. Well, God has given me these talents to do this thing, whether it's business or whatever, when God's like, but I also told you to go make disciples. I told you to take care of the widows and orphans, and all you're busy doing is growing your business.
Right.
Because you think I gave you talents as an entrepreneur and a businessman, and that's all you're doing, but you're ignoring your wife, you're ignoring your kids. So I think there's a very distinct balance that has to be struck.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I love the quote, love the idea of, you know, there's no business or worldly success that can, you know, outweigh failure or outshine failure at the in the home.
No doubt.
You know, so like that's your first mission is not your business.
Oh.
If you're married, the first mission is your wife. You know, if you have kids, first mission, second mission, right? But within that family mission is your kids. And so there's no excuse for success. And that's my next question to you is like defining success for you. What does that look like, you know? But there's no success, quote unquote, sorry, that can make up for, you know, failure at home. And we all make mistakes. Like the thing is we're not perfect, and I don't know if like we're just finding that out. We know we're not perfect, but the idea is to like not just get to the end of our lives and say I was successful, but I was successful in all the wrong things.
Yeah.
I don't want that. And that's why we have to always ask ourselves, look, am I working from the circles? Like, am I taking care of my relationship vertically? Without the relationship vertically, all the other ones are in trouble, or they're going to be not lasting, or they're not going to be ultimately what God wants for you, because you have to be in healthy relationship with Him. Then you'll be the best you, and like be able to give and give grace and forgive and give life to every situation because you're connected to your ultimate source.
That's right.
And I love who we are in Christ. I've been looking at that in Scripture, like knowing, talking about the value and the worthiness of who we are now. Because we're not just like, you know, we're not just like worthless and you know, broken messes. He takes those things and He completes us. He gives us the fullness of life, and He's redeemed us, and He's forgiven us, and now we're heirs. We're more than conquerors, right?
That's right.
We are victorious in Christ. So that was kind of that last part. But that was one of my signature rants.
No, but, I love it. But yeah. I would challenge you.
Yeah, please.
On that too, is that I think that you can get, and I'm speaking from my own personal experience. And this is where it's like, I think it's good to have that full perspective is we are broken.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't need us.
Yeah.
He wants us.
Mm-hmm.
And He wants us to want Him.
Mm-hmm.
And He wants our heart. So I think that I personally, not I think that, like I have personally experienced where I have gone down a path of I am a conqueror, I am an heir. These wonderful truths, I agree, but then I will become prideful. And then I will forget to be meek and mild.
Yeah.
And humble in spirit, and like coming to God like every single morning, like, God, I am broken. I need you. I cannot do this without you.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it without you.
Amen.
I lay it at your feet. I submit to you fully and completely. It is yours. Let your will be done. Because what will happen with me is I will get caught up in that. And we all do. Like the ego is one of our biggest, you know, that's the main thorn.
Yeah.
And then it can, I just feel like it can snowball kind of quickly. And that's my own experience.
Yeah. That's the stronghold that I think is true in my life is the ego, like being able to keep that in proper perspective. I literally just read this morning, like in 1 Peter 5:6, I believe it's humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
There you go.
And He will exalt you in due timing.
Yes.
Cast all your cares on Him, all your worries, all your anxieties, because He cares for you. And then
isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful. And then Jesus, when He says, look, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You're a stick. You're a stick in the field. If you're apart from me, you're dead, right?
That's it.
So that's really great pushback and a full perspective, because it's not one or the other extreme, I think, right?
No, I agree. It's not.
Like it's in the same way grace wouldn't be grace if you don't know how bad you really are.
That's right. Yes.
So
And I think that the ultimate kind of litmus test to kind of tell if you are maybe going down the wrong path or being too extreme one way or the other is like the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Like, does he reign supreme?
Is he king?
Is he king?
In your life. Because he's king outside of our lives.
That's right. But is he, yes, is he truly?
Yeah.
That's what will kind of like steer me back or, you know, go to Matthew chapter 5 and just start reading the Sermon on the Mount, like the Beatitudes. Just like, just start there and it'll like maybe kind of shift your mind a little
bit.
Yeah.
Super good. So in light of that, what does success look like to you? Because it's no doubt changed.
Man.
But to me, and it could be simple. You don't have to like give me a full.
Yeah, no. You know me well enough that you could. Brevity is not my spiritual gift.
Yeah.
So sometimes I need.
I want to outline. I need
to be reminded. Oh yeah, yeah. It's like Alex, tell me what time it is, not how the watch works.
Yes. Yes. This man's gifted, and so, I mean, yeah.
But it is. But I told you, it is a response to the dyslexia, the memory, like all the things that it's. I do that for myself.
Yeah.
So success, I think. If I had to kind of boil it down, it's like I want my wife to always feel loved, cherished, desired, the provision, providing for her, protecting her. That is success in that realm. I think with my children, it's that they will be a Christ follower. And knowing that I could, even if they don't end up being a Christ follower, that I can stand in front of my maker and say, and like for him to say, Alex, you did everything.
Yeah.
You shared everything. So that is a huge focus. And them feeling loved, like unconditionally, that they are loved and that they're more than enough. That's something that I will say verbally to them, like, you are more than enough. My daughter, Callie, she's 6 years old, and she is the achiever. Like, she...
Mini you.
Like, times 100.
Wow.
This girl, it is insane. Yeah. So it's like, I love that you got 110% on your test.
Yeah.
But I don't love you anymore because of it.
Right.
So I think with my kids and then with business, it is like, I just want to be a good steward. It has changed like massively since, you know, years ago when it was about a number. I want, you know, my net worth will be this. I can live off of it at this, by this age. And I'll leave, you know, an inheritance for my children's children. All those things like have just gone away.
Yeah.
They're not even on my radar anymore. As far as defining success. And then really it's become like, I just want God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That is success to me.
And at the end of your life.
At the end of my life, when I am giving my account, you know, that is success to me, is that I was a good steward with what he's given me.
That's fire. You know what's dope about that too, Alex? Is most of those, with the exception of the last one being at the end of our lives, but you could still make a case for it being true of the others, is... It's success is an ongoing thing. It's almost like success is now this journey of yours, but it's the way you're on the journey that's success to you.
Oh, that's good, dude.
Not so much, hey, this is the car, that means I'm successful, or the number, that means I'm successful, or that is success. Now it's the way you move and how much love and how much grace you're giving to your wife, your kids, how much unconditional, you know, support you're giving. So success is almost this lifestyle now to you, which is beautiful. And I think a lot of people, myself included, get hung up on this wasn't as a successful month because we're looking to the metrics. You need the metrics. You need specifics. And in fact, I need that in my life, and I'm growing in that. But I can't lose sight of true success. I love Bob Marley. Super side note, but Bob Marley has a video where someone was like, are you a rich man? Have you seen that?
No.
And he goes, rich, what do you mean by rich? And the interviewer goes, like, do you have a lot of possessions, a lot of money in the bank? And he goes, possessions make you rich?
Oh.
And he goes, I don't have that kind of riches. My riches is life forever.
Oh.
And it's and in my view, you know, I'm not sure what he believes, but as a Christian, I'm like, yeah, my true riches is life forever. And the beautiful part is the abundant life starts now. And I'm not talking about possessions. I'm not talking about mansions and business booming. But I am talking about Jesus and the life he gives us is right now, and it's abundant and it's full and it's amazing, and we don't have to wait for that.
That's right.
Success is here and now in that aspect.
I think it's important. Like you, it's a good question. Like, how do you define success? Mm. And what are we kind of programmed to define? It's like let's put some metrics to it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's retiring at this age, mm-hmm. or having this net worth, whatever it is, but where it is this more kind of fluid, and just like for me, a lot of it too is just abiding in Christ, mm-hmm. and then the byproduct will be peace, joy, yep. contentment, like yep. all these wonderful gifts, and that's where I think too, Brian, where the word abundance and the abundant life. Mm-hmm. could be misconstrued. Mm-hmm. And what you're speaking about, mm-hmm. as far as abundance and the abundant life, it is that peace, mm-hmm. joy, contentment.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about the house or yeah. houses or the trips or mm-hmm. the materialism
yes.
Of this world.
Yes.
So I think it's really, really important to make that very fine distinction.
Yeah.
Because it is all about, 41 years old, mm-hmm. like going through all the different phases that I've gone through. And like I said, I am so content and full of joy, mm-hmm. and full of peace, mm-hmm. and rest. And it's because of abiding in Christ.
Yeah.
Has nothing else.
Right.
Nothing else.
Right.
Yeah.
And inherently in abiding in Christ is the letting go. And I'd love to pick your brain on surrender and what that means in your life. But before, I want to echo that point of the abundant life is truly the fruit of the Spirit, like letting him work in your life.
Oh, yeah.
I think for me, success is really just, I want to be, like if I'm effective, that is success. So in business, if I'm effective in making impactful conversations, mm-hmm. opening up new ways of thinking for my clients or helping them discover maybe more discipline in their life, that's me as an effective coach. I'm like, praise God, that's amazing. I feel successful with that client. And then effective in loving my wife, effective in raising my little girl. Like that's what I want to be. But I think, yeah, it's not me being successful in that. But if there's a word for 2023, I want to just be effective. And that means abiding in Christ. That means being in alignment within, meaning I'm prioritizing the things I should be. So like my body, my mind, my spirit, like mm-hmm. we are connect, like it's connected. We're made in the image of God. Those things are different, but not disconnected.
That's right.
So if I let my body go, right, you're fit. Like this is why, not that there's a prerequisite to be on the podcast, but but inherently, like my friend group, I'm like, look, you take care of your body, you take care of your mindset, your spiritual health and fitness is number one, which is dope. That's me too. So my point being, that's alignment. If you let your body go and just say, well, no, like I don't really care about filling my body with good things. I'll eat whatever and I'll consume whatever via TV, media,
oh, yeah.
music. You're not living in internal alignment. And then external alignment would be, am I on the path, right? Am I on the right path, God's path for my life? Or am I on something else? Am I doing things my way? Or am I saying, look, I need you. I hit my knees in the morning. I need you. You know, I can do nothing without you. I need you to work powerfully through me and give me wisdom for the day and whatnot. So that's the alignment piece within and without.
I totally agree. And what I would say too, Brian, I love how you define success and with this whole effective kind of philosophy. But and what I would say, like when I hear you say that, the word that comes to my head immediately is stewardship.
Stewardship, management.
It is.
Management.
It's just like, hey, God has given me this business. He's given me this influence, these people in my life that happen to be paying clients or mm-hmm. whatever it is, from employees, all these things. Like those are assets, gifts that he's given you that now you need to steward,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you go back to the parable of the talents
uh-huh.
and what was I, and I'm still kind of like, I like to study it and just roll it around in my head is, what was the, multiple for the talents? So there were three guys,
yeah.
right? One guy was given five talents.
Mm-hmm.
He doubled it to 10.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Another guy was given 2.
2, doubled it.
He doubled it.
4.
The other guy was given 1, and mm-hmm. he just buried it, right?
Yeah.
So
played it safe.
Whether you're given 2,
uh-huh.
5, 10, 20, 30, whatever it is, I look at it, I'm like, oh, the multiple is, I got to double it.
Mm.
So maybe that, like, just, and not in a business sense, but like, oh wow, I got work to do.
Yeah.
There's a sense of urgency here.
Yes.
Like I need to be a good steward and multiply the gifts that God has given me.
Yeah.
Not for my own gain, but mm-hmm. for His glory.
Yeah. Well, we're given, and that's a beautiful reminder of like, it keeps us humble as well, as if we truly know and we wake up daily and we understand nothing is ours.
Mm.
Nothing is personal.
Oh, that's good.
Even the life you created, you have kids, like those kids aren't yours. And that's like, that's, you know, some people would be like, what? But I know that is true in my life, where I look at, we're going to name our baby Gianna, and it's like, I thank God every day. I'm like, thank you for the life you've given us.
Oh,
this heartbeat is a gift. It's not mine. And I want to steward. I want to manage. I want to father this little girl with everything I have and maximize on all the gifts you've given to me. So again, it keeps us humble, and it keeps our gifts and talents in proper perspective.
See, and when I said in the beginning that you have wisdom far beyond your years, that's a little nugget right there, is like understanding that, and even talking about your unborn child, that it's not yours, man. I like, hold on to that, because that, I know for me, speaking from my own experience, when I start like you want to know what I did in my business? Are you know? Get your notebook out.
Yeah.
Write this down. Are you taking notes? Because I'll tell you what I did.
Mm.
Fitness, whatever it is, like, mm-hmm. you are so spot on about that. Keeping yourself humble.
That's awesome.
None of it's yours.
None of it's ours.
God is the creator.
It's all God given. Yeah. And that's the last part of that is, so you and I have been given much. Someone listening, right? You listening have been given much. That means much will be required. And that's why we should aim to be effective. Not because we're worth more or more valuable, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because we've been given so much. And if we keep that in its proper place, there's this sense of, it's duty out of a love, right? Since He's loved us so much and given us so much, we're like, well, now the way I'm going to show my thank you is I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to steward this well.
That's right.
I'm going to make sure I do that well. So I love it, man. And thank you. I received that. You're generous and love this conversation. The perspectives and the feedbacks and just the push-pull, because I really do think that's important. You got to have a full perspective of things. So now as we get into, we talked about success, you mentioned ego, you mentioned, I mentioned briefly identity, but let me hear this, because this sparked my initial interest in this conversation, because we've had a lot of great ones surrounding self-improvement
mm-hmm.
and maybe the pros and the cons and the limitations. As Christians,
oh,
as a Christian man, there are limitations to self-improvement, but in culture, all we hear is do better, do more, you know, one more rep, which again, those are great messages and ideas, yet it then plants this seed that will never be enough. And you'll never fully, you know, be improved enough to take your break off your foot off the gas. There's limitations to self-improvement. So maybe what was your journey like? What were the benefits of the self-improvement early on? That road look like?
That's a great question, and I love this topic. And I will say this: I want to preface it by saying that, as a Christian, I think I've learned that I personally, and take this take this however you want, but I have personally had to be on guard, because there's a lot of messaging, there's a lot of content, there's a lot of great books and a lot of great authors out there. But what it can do.
Name them. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. And we can. Like, I can go into some of this, like, depending on how deep you want to go,
mm-hmm.
Where doctrine can be twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture can be inserted.
Uh-huh.
It can be taken out of context.
Well, exegesis.
It's like it can be this slow process where you all of a sudden have this false doctrine and this false belief.
Mm.
And the ultimate outcome for a lot of it is you are your own God.
Mm.
It's the little
red flag.
God. Red flag.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way back to the garden.
Mm.
Right? What was the lie of the serpent in Genesis 3?
Be like God.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm.
Don't you want to be like God?
Mm.
And we want the knowledge.
Mm.
We want the wisdom. We want the enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the next step. And that's where I'd say the danger is in self-improvement, is that it can become this navel-gazing, inward focus, me, me, me.
Mm.
I need to get better. I need to become, like, whatever it is, whether it's the physical part or the with business, spiritual,
mm.
but it is this, like, oh, in the next level, I can become more enlightened. And that's the danger. And it goes, like I said, back to the beginning of mankind.
There's nothing new under the sun.
No, nothing new under the sun.
Same strategy.
That's right. And yeah, like, it. Like, new age is not really new age.
Uh-huh.
You really should call it, like, old age.
Right.
Like, Gnosticism back in, I don't know, first century AD or second century. Like,
mm-hmm.
And it was prolific. It started, like, infecting the churches. But going back to the... like the benefits, it is great there, but look at them as tools.
Yeah.
And look at it in terms of stewardship. Like, there's a lot of great things out there. Like, I look, like, physically, great, like the breath work.
Yeah.
And the whole Wim Hof kind of
deal.
I was
gonna ask you about this for sure.
Like, it's that has really transformed my life because I am naturally a very, like, anxious, stressed up. Or, I mean, my parents would joke that I came out of the womb stressed out. You know, like, I remember being a little
doing
kid.
Taxes.
Oh, and so that's my natural proclivity is this, like, kind of high strung. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really get accused of being very relaxed and
until recently.
Yeah, and it's been this intentional shift.
Uh-huh.
But, like, with that tool, I have learned that, like, okay, physically, God gave us this gift of what's called an autonomic nervous system.
Yeah.
But he's also given us this gift, you know, this whole flight or flight versus the whole rest and digest. So it's like he's also given us this gift of breath.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use that to overcome a fight or flight situation where you may not need to be running from a saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah.
It's just all made up in your head.
Correct.
And now you can breathe and calm yourself down. And it's fun, like, I'm teaching my kids that. My 5-year-old son will come up to me and say, and he has a very bad time. He's a hothead like you.
Mm.
And he'll come up, Dad, I'm about to have a bad attitude.
Wow.
And I don't want to. Can you do deep breaths with me?
This man's already enlightened.
5 years old.
Yeah.
So he understands that he is not subject to that. Not like, you made me mad, so now I'm going to take it out on you.
Reactive.
It's your fault. Like, whoa, I have the ability to choose my response.
Mm.
And so that's a self-help type of thing. You don't, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, that's not in the Bible. That's not a biblical truth per se, but that's a wonderful tool in life to use to improve yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The danger is, one, it becomes this navel-gazing, inward focus, and where it's all about you.
Yeah.
That is really what I've come to, this distinction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, dude, so much to unpack there, so much wisdom in that. It's just powerful to have that improper perspective, because you – when I hear that, I'm like, well, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because to your point, like, a breathwork practice, like, that's very helpful. It's a tool, just like any of these things are. But you said it best when it's like, it becomes more about me, and I'm the king on my throne, and I'm the CEO of my life, and no one answers to, like, I don't answer to anybody.
That's right.
That's when there's serious issues. But before I get into the spiritual nature of that, you mentioned too, like, in ways that it was beneficial. Like, was there a point where it was so beneficial and then you kind of, like, burnt out? Like, what did that look like for you?
Yeah, great question. Yeah. So to kind of set the stage or like give context, I mean, I got into self-improvement, personal development, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I think when I was like 16 years old.
Early.
Yeah, 16. I think I was 16. And the first book I read in that kind of space was Think and Grow Rich, mm-hmm. Napoleon Hill. Mm-hmm. And that kind of started me off.
Yeah.
Like I even in college, like you come into my room and my friends would be like, dude, what are these books? Like The Power of Your Subconscious Mind.
Yeah.
Like all these crazy, and not crazy books, but like books that I was consuming at a very early age. There was a point in my life where it was all about the achievement. It became all about materialism. Mm-hmm. And then I would tell myself this lie of, well, if you have all this stuff, that means you can bless people more.
Sure.
If I have a bigger business, if I have more margin, if I have that, then you're going to be a really good steward, Alex.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Really, really good.
Uh-huh.
And I found myself, it was this very slow fade of, then I was reading and consuming more of that type of material than the Word of God.
Interesting.
Seminars, boot camps, all the things which can be good tools. Mm-hmm. That became my religion.
Mm, the religion of self-help.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I would say this too, Brian. The other danger is that I see and that I have subscribed to is all of a sudden that person, mm-hmm. whomever it is, Tony Robbins, mm-hmm. pick somebody.
Yeah,
that becomes your, like that man of God. Maybe it's a man of God.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a pastor, yeah. a preacher, mm-hmm. becomes your God rather than the man of God.
Right.
And that's where I'd say another danger is. But I got completely burned out.
Yeah.
Like physically working in the office at 5:30 in the morning, all I cared about was growing the business and having more and acquiring and just believing this lie that I was telling myself, or that, you know, that the devil was telling me and that I was believing. Mm. And I did. I burned out physically. I was having getting sick, having all kinds of physical challenges, mm-hmm. that were, I mean, all different areas. It was across the spectrum. And then I kind of broke. Like it really, like my body broke, my mm-hmm. mind broke.
Mm-hmm.
I was having panic attacks. I never had panic attacks before. Mm-hmm. I mean, like sitting in bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, feeling like I have a wasp nest in my chest or whatever, however people describe that. But I'm like, what is happening right
yeah.
now? Like, yeah. I don't even know what's happening. The lack of peace, the lack of rest. It was the lowest point in my life.
Wow.
What
age?
This was probably 2017 ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. around the, 2016 to really.
So mid 30s.
Yeah. Mid 30s.
Like late. Yeah, yeah. Mid to late.
Yeah. Yeah. Mid to late 30s. And that really, there's no way I'd be where I am now without going through that. So I'm like, I'm very thankful for going through it, but it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was a horrible experience physically, emotionally, spiritually, all the things.
Yeah. Well, now you get to speak into my life with that perspective. Praise God. Then you get to speak into people listening to their lives, wherever they are right now. Praise God. So there's so much to be thankful for with that. So thank you for walking through that and then being able to reflect. I mean, there's a great quote that says, you know, experience doesn't equal wisdom. You know, reflecting on it gives you the insight. Mm-hmm. And then we know full circle with just the humility aspect is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Like it's not some secret code that you just unlock based on your own merit. But it's the look, I don't know what's best even for myself, because you recognize your perspective is limited. So if I'm just living life in Brian's perspective based on my experience and saying this is my truth, I'm discrediting the truth and I'm discrediting God and His perspective in that.
Mm, that's good.
What I was gonna say,
well said.
What I was gonna say, Alex, is I think, and maybe I could be wrong, but the reason why it's so seductive in becoming, you know, like self-improvement and self-helping and the relentless pursuit of that, which is never ending, by the way. It It's the carrot.
I think you need to say that again. It's never ending.
It's the idea of, think about this. It is a horse and a carrot, but you just keep going. It's like you're on this track that goes around the globe 24/7, 6-7 days a week.
Never stops.
24 hours, right? Never stops. So of course you freaking burn out.
Yep.
And so inherently, and this is the last thing I'll say, and this could be a great segue into the spiritual aspect of that in our perspective there, because that was very much perfect wisdom for even a person who's an atheist. You know, it's like, that makes sense. It's built on the lie of you are not enough as you are right now. Let me think about that for one sec. It's built on the idea of you need to be more to be loved or valuable or effective or successful. As Christians, we know we're not enough, but then we take on someone else's enough. We trust in Christ who did what we couldn't, and we say, look, if your grace, your love, what you did in living the way you did perfectly, dying the way you died, resurrecting in 3 days, like, if that's not enough, then I'm definitely not enough. But if that's enough and I'm in you, praise God. God looks at us as enough.
Absolutely.
So I think that was tricky because
it is,
you know.
The other thing I would say, Brian, I feel like there is truth in what you just, like, that, I think that, and it may be a couple different camps. Like, who knows? It may not just be this one thing. Mm-hmm. I go back to the garden and what are everyone's human nature is to be like God. That is the common denominator.
Yeah, sure.
In it all, that is the seduction. Is, don't you want to be enlightened? Don't you want to be like God?
Yeah.
Don't you want to have more wisdom?
You are God.
Yeah, you are God. Yeah. We are gods. Yeah. Oh, here. I'll take the scripture out of John.
Yeah.
Was it John 10? Yeah. And I'm going to take it completely out of context. Uh-huh. And here, it was said that we are gods. But anyway, right. the mm-hmm. point of that is, that can also, that goes, that intertwines perfectly for folks that may have the feeling of like, gosh, I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel like I'm enough. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden you may have some successes. You follow this person, these things, you do the things, you achieve the whatever. And then that leads to the next, to the next, to the next.
Yes.
And I have seen it where it is this never ending. Oh, well, now you're part of this group. Well, you're going to get this certain amount of enlightenment, and then you got to pay another $100,000 to join the next group.
Correct.
And then you're going to get more wisdom. You're going to get more enlightenment, and then the next one, and then the next one, and you got to go to this seminar and do that.
Yeah.
It's just, it can just be this slippery slope.
Yeah. It's so freaking good. So, a beautiful thing I heard Joby Martin, shout out Joby Martin in Jacksonville, Florida, the preacher over there. Love his sermons, love his church at 1122, I believe.
Yeah, 1122. Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
And he said something Joby. Beautiful. And it's something that Jesus, like, he's echoing what Jesus said. He goes, I came to give sight to the blind. I came to heal the sick. The healthy don't need a physician, only the sick do. And, you know, in that idea, that was his idea. And so the one thing you need is need. The one thing, and Joby said that, the one thing you need to know, like to give your life to Christ, to give up yourself, to say, I'm gonna die to myself. I actually came to the end of myself and I give up. I'm never gonna be enough just in and of myself.
Yeah.
Doing this and building that business and networking with that group and this, I need something greater. And it's like, that's the key that unlocks your relationship with, like, that's it, because you say, I need you.
And that is the antithesis to I am my own God.
It's opposite.
Yes. Yes.
So
good. Well said. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that for me, like, I don't think I really shared my testimony, but that's in detail, but that is, I think, a point where you must come the end of yourself and say, I surrender. I give it up and I need something else. I need someone else. And that person happens to be Jesus, and that person is my creator. So what's beautiful about that is if I align with his will for my life, if I align with and abide in him, that's best case scenario.
Oh yeah.
Right? It's best case scenario for my business, for my family and all that. So
that's what I said. Yeah. All the other things will become, it'll become a byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
You abide in Christ. You seek first the kingdom of God. You are obedient. That's why, and then all the other things will become a byproduct. Yeah. You may not have the business that you wanted, but you'll have peace, love, joy, contentment. And not that they're mutually exclusive, but whatever God's will is for your life, when you're in that surrender, the other things will come.
Yeah.
But that's not to say you won't have hardship. You won't have challenge. Like that's, we're promised that. But that's why, like, when you read the Bible, there's no like 7-step process for this or for that.
Interesting.
Or, you know, and it's like, well, there's probably a reason for that.
Hmm.
You know, there's a reason.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I just want to echo that point too, Alex, is like the best thing you can do, like there's, the simple stuff works, right? Just like there's nothing new under the sun. If you're talking spiritual disciplines, guys who are hearing this and interested in trying to grow spiritually, right? It's studying scripture. It's praying, right? It's silencing and praying and being honest, being humble, being authentic and raw with your creator, and meditation, right? On the scripture, meditation on truth.
Yes.
And then there's other things like fasting and things of that nature. But the best weapon you have, the best tool you have, let's say your best freaking dumbbell, most effective dumbbell in renewing your mind is in scripture.
100%.
Filling it, studying it, meditating on it, and letting it become, you know, who you are, and letting it become your thoughts, and you're thinking God's thoughts after him.
That's
if you are filling your mind with those good things and truth, then in my opinion, you can't lose, and that's,
And I'll tag on to that, Brian, because I do think it's so important, especially in light of this conversation about the self-improvement space. And not, I want to make it clear, like, there are good things that come out of it, but the danger as a Christian is if you don't know the Word of God, that's when you can be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
If you know Scripture,
mm-hmm.
you can test it.
Yeah, and principles and
doctrine.
Right.
Doctrine, right. Like real doctrine.
Not just the tech.
No,
yeah.
Like really, truly understand it. Become an apologist. Like focus on that and understand how to defend the faith and understanding what you believe and why you believe it and study the Word of God and ask for wisdom and discernment. And then when you hear, when you go and read a Joseph Murphy book and you hear and you see a ton of scripture quoted, you can decipher.
Yeah.
Is this taken out of context?
Right.
What's he saying here?
Right.
Oh, this is counter to what the gospel says.
Mm.
I'm going to contrast that to what to the Sermon on the Mount. Mm. Like, I'm going to go with what Jesus said, not this man. Mm. So that's, I think that's where it is just so important. Yes. That's your barbell.
Know the word.
Yeah.
Know the word.
Know the word.
To your point, the best lie is, it involves the truth. The best lie is not the obvious, like, whoa, what the heck, off the wall thing. The best lie has a lot of freaking truth in it. A lot of wisdom.
Oh, yes.
And it's just ever so slightly tweaked, you know,
twisted. They twist it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in light of that, Alex, I think we kind of gave a pretty good view perspective of the benefits, but also there's a lot of cons and downsides to making self-improvement, self-help your religion, your God, or making therefore yourself your own God. As a business owner, as a 30-year-old and 2-day, 30-year-old, I just totally botched that. I don't even know.
You're 30.
I'm 30. Try to be cute with it. I'll quit. But as a 30-year-old man who's a business owner, who's a father now in April, I'll meet my baby, God willing. And then, you know, as a husband, like, what's your advice to these men like myself? Because I can't just go the other extreme saying, I'm just going to sell the business. I mean, if God wants me to sell the business, it's already his. So boom, like, I'll give it away and I'll give it to him. and have that perspective. But yeah. He's planted me here. I want to do everything I can to abide and then have success. And a lot of that is how I go about my business. So what would you give me as advice in light of all this self-improvement, but also having it in proper perspective?
Gosh, what a good question, Brian. What I would say, there's a lot that I would say, but
and I'm so glad I have this recorded so I can just listen to it over and over again.
I'll try to use some brevity here too, but really part of it is I would ask you questions too. But stay humble is one of the most important things. Remind yourself every single day that this is not your business. Mm-hmm. The clients are not your clients. Yeah. They're God's. Mm-hmm. All of it belongs to Him. And asking God, what is your will? Mm-hmm. Let me do your will. Allow me to accomplish it. Thank you for this. Like having the gratitude, just thanking Him mm-hmm. daily, every single day, because you need to remind yourself of that every yeah. single day. And ask Him to give you that wisdom and discernment to define the success. I don't think, and I'm still like going through it myself, even in my own business, like it changes. And that's a good thing too, mm-hmm. Is I don't think that you still have to do, and this is being a good student, be prudent. Like have the metrics, have the KPIs, have the optics to know. Like you said, like just with fitness, like how are you gonna know if you're off course and how to course correct? Have good advisors who are men of the faith, mm-hmm. like and women, mm-hmm. you know, like. But make sure your advisors are believers.
Yeah,
that's what I would say too.
Yeah. I would say even therapists too. Like any type, yes. anyone speaking into your life from on that level, it's really good to be equally yoked to say, yes. like, okay, you're on the same like mission.
And biblical. I wouldn't discredit people that aren't like advisors that aren't like, but just again, like just like if you pick up a self improvement book or self help, mm-hmm. like just be skeptical, like. Accept the wisdom, like God, what are you trying to tell me through this person? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say like I don't exclude, like I talk to so many different people and I want right. to pick their brains and understand you know how they run their business and how they've been able to be successful, but asking mm-hmm. God, like, what do you want from this business? Mm-hmm. And I think that God will give you that revelation. Like a good friend, and it's been like a newer friendship, but a really great friend. He's in our Friday morning group, talks about the difference between revelation and vision.
Interesting.
So men can have vision. Like I can have a vision for my business. You can have a vision for your business. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to grow 26% year over year. I double every 3 years. I keep my EBITDA at 40%. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to keep my labor efficiency ratio, this and this mm-hmm. and this. And yeah, it's going to be this great business. And I can take on an investment at this point and still maintain margin, all these sure. different things. Sure, sure. It sounds great. Great mm-hmm. vision. Good. It's very logical.
Right.
You're mitigating the risk. You're doing all the things.
Yeah.
What's God telling you? Like, and He differentiates it like this, like the vision, it is very logical, but like God can sometimes like serve it to you up on a silver platter. Like these thoughts aren't my thoughts. God gave this to me and now I'm going to go execute on that. But still being in that state of submission. Mm-hmm. I know for me, it really is about like, God, what do you want
yeah.
from this?
Yeah.
And when you're obedient, when you're in that state of submission mm-hmm. and the willingness to be obedient, mm-hmm. God, I really want this.
Yeah.
I really do. I was on my knees this morning, like, God, this is what I want. But if you don't want me to have it, then just show me.
Yeah.
Reveal it to me, close the door, open the door, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that will happen. Mm-hmm. You'll make mistakes, but it's like that's how you're going to learn. So that's what I would say is just this like this heart posture of utter and total submission and gratitude and stewardship, and then contrasting that, I think understanding what your thorns are, mm-hmm. like what your weakness is.
Yeah.
For me, I want glory. Mm-hmm. I want people to say like, "Wow, you're a really gifted businessman. Yeah, wow, yeah. What an entrepreneur you right. are. And like, how did you do it, Alex? How are you so, you're 41. How do you stay fit? Mm. Oh, really? Oh, let me tell you, I do this and I do that. And man, I really overcame this.
Yeah.
Me, mm-hmm. wanting the glory. Mm-hmm. So being on guard against that too. So like for me, something that I'm doing in my life, when someone asks me, how did you get your business to this point or whatever? I'm like, God's favor.
Mm.
Yeah. It's all God. Like, yeah. I didn't do anything. Right. Don't take out your notebook. Don't take notes, because it's not me. It's mm. God. So I think like, God, give me those opportunities to point to you. Mm-hmm. Because in the past, what I've done is I point to myself.
Yeah.
In all the different areas, not just like business. All. Oh, wow, your kids are so uh-huh. they're so polite and well-being. Okay, mm-hmm. well, get out your notebook, because mm-hmm. I'll tell you why I'm such a great parent, mm-hmm. even though I'm not. So I think that pointing to him in all that you do, that's also just gonna, that will change your heart mm-hmm. too.
All glory to God. Like that's yes. KB the rapper does that super well. I think he's got like his own, like his mission statement in life is all glory to him, or, mm. you know, and that's like such a beautiful way to yes. live. It frees you up, because then your accomplishments aren't so heavy, you know, on your life. It's interesting, because I think about maybe even that, where an accomplishment is so powerful, but then toward the end of your life, it starts to get heavy. It starts to weigh on you. Because you know what I'm saying?
Well, and what about when you do accomplish it? Mm. What do you do? Like, for me, we top 2% out of 10,000 agents a couple years ago. We had never done it before.
Yeah.
It's a really big accomplishment.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so obsessed with achieving that. We achieved it. I was like,
that's it?
That's it. Oh, well, it's January.
Wow.
And none of it matters anymore. No one's going to care. We just got to keep, just reset. Do it again.
Yeah.
And yeah. And it was like, that's it. That's what I was chasing.
Mm.
You know?
Dude.
Yeah. Read Ecclesiastes.
Man. Yeah. Right in front of you too. Right here. That's it.
I love it, dude.
Shout out yes. to Alabaster. Yeah. It's a great Christmas gift.
Gosh.
By the way, great Christmas gift. They make it beautiful.
Read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Without,
chasing and
that's
the wind.
That's it. Everything. Life's a vapor. Life is quick, and it is meaningless without God. Like with yes. God, man, He gives meaning to everything. But if we're just chasing accomplishments, success apart from Him, meaning apart from Him, you will be striving all your life. And yes. that's, I think, where yes. a lot of people have found themselves yeah. when they get into this. It also frees us up to. I was gonna say the. Compliments, because you mentioned that. Like, I love your mindset when people give you compliments or they affirm something in your life, because you want to receive that, but then deflect. Like, you want to say, I receive that, but all glory to God.
Yeah.
So you're the vessel. Again, my business is this gift that God's given me. And my dad said it, like, it's like a hose, if you will, where God's favor is just running through the vessel. Yes.
Oh, that's so well
And that's
said.
It. And it's like, yeah. so the hose, I don't own the hose, but it's in my, it's been given to me.
Yes.
And God's just dumping His favor, flowing His blessings to other people through me.
Yes.
And if you aren't living in alignment, or you try to look at self, you try to take the glory, you're going to have some kinks in that hose. It's not going to flow properly.
No.
So we don't have to get our heads, you know, super big with compliments, but it also frees us. Whenever there's criticism, whenever there's feedback and stuff, we don't have to take things personally.
Oh, it's dude, that and that beautiful. Is such an important point. Like the freedom when you are abiding in Christ and that's your focus. Like, seek first the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that. Abide in Christ. There's so much freedom, and that's what I mean when I say, like, at this point in my life. And I see a lot of my friends, like, my stage of life right now, it is a lot of hustle. Mm. There's a lot of guys, like, just grinding. Yeah. This is the building years. You know, this is when you create your empire.
Legacy.
Yes. Oh, now's the time.
All that was practice in your 20s and 30s.
Oh, man.
This is the real.
I'm like, gosh, you guys are just missing it.
Mm.
Like,
I love being at home with my kids and my wife. I'm at home for dinner every single night.
Wow.
Like, the freedom with all of it. It's like, oh, it's not my business. It's God's business. Mm. If God doesn't want me to have it, he'll take it away from me.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
If God doesn't want me, if he wants me to have this, if he wants me to have that, it's all him. And when you're in that state of surrender, the submission, the true, like, I am just a steward.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much freedom.
Yes.
Versus, like, you contrast that with,
I'm the
it's
king.
All on me.
Yeah.
This is my kingdom.
Yep.
I'm the king. I'm responsible for it all.
I have to be everything to everyone.
Oh man, no. There's it's like this, like the downstream effect of that freedom. It will penetrate all different areas of your life.
Yeah.
But where you can, I mean, I can't stress it enough.
Yeah.
How amazing it feels to be in that state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've grown so much, man. I look up to you in terms of I want to have the alignment, the relationship, in proper place that you are experiencing, because that's the goal. Again, that's success to me. A great question to ask, ourselves, right? Is do I love? And I catch myself, but do I love the blessings more than the blesser, the gifts more than the giver? And I think when we look at things in life through those lens, we're able to say, look. Like Job, because you mentioned the abundant life, and I mentioned that, and then people can misconstrue that, where it's like, well, yeah, it means favor, it means cattle, it means business, it means growth, but yet God gives and God takes away, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
That's right.
And so, I think that question maybe puts things in really good perspective. Am I more about the blessings than the blesser right now?
Yeah, and I would say too, Brian, like your stage of life, business owner. Understanding to like the contentment factor, you know, talk about like peace, love, joy, contentment.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are kind of the overarching kind of themes and things that I meditate on.
Mm-hmm.
And contentment's a really big one.
Yeah.
And that like the materialism, the upgrade, mm-hmm. upgrade the house, mm-hmm. upgrade the cars. Got to have the vacation home. And where are you going for winter vacation? Like, where are you skiing?
Yep.
What trips are you going on? What club do you belong to?
Mm-hmm.
All the things. It's so easy to get caught up in that, especially in the city that we live in.
Yep.
It's a wealthy city. The circles, the whatever. And that is a really hard thing for me. I like nice things. Mm-hmm. That's something that I battle all the time, and coming to God and like, what do you want? You know, I look back at my life too. When I got saved, it was very much this like hustle, grind. At that time, God ripped me up, took me out of South Beach, Miami.
Wow.
Living this very, very ungodly. I mean, I pretty much recanted my faith at this point.
Yeah.
Partying, doing all the things, everything that you can possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
but maintaining myself professionally and everything like that. I had a great
mm-hmm.
career, all the things,
mm-hmm.
Ripped me out of that. And you talk about like God drew me. I didn't find Jesus. Like he drew me,
yeah.
And put me in Tallahassee, Florida, joined my brother in a startup business. And I'm going on a little rabbit trail, but it's good for context as far as like understanding contentment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went into this business super arrogant, thinking, oh, well, you know, 3 to 5 years, we'll make probably a nine-figure exit, and we'll go off and, you know,
into the sunset.
Kind of retire by 35.
Right, right.
And we just got crushed, absolutely crushed.
Hmm.
Very, very humbling time. Making payroll with credit cards, the 3 F's, friends, families, and fools, just getting money as however we could to pay the bills. massive turn. It was just an absolute just disaster.
Mm.
And but like a beautiful disaster, because it did humble me. And that was the poorest that I've ever been. And I had sent, like, during that time, I gave my life to the Lord, it was 180 degrees. Mm. Like, went from not just, like, drinking. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad. Yeah. And I don't know how deep we want to ever get into that, but, like,
yeah.
It was not good. 180 degrees and just on fire for the Lord. I didn't care. I truly lived the don't worry about anything. All you have to worry about is, what is it? Like food and clothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, God's got me.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, God's going to take care of me. And I believe that. Mm. And it happened, but I was still like really poor.
Yeah.
And it was really hard,
mm.
but I was so full of joy.
Interesting.
And so full of contentment. And I have to remind myself, I'll have to go back to that time. Like, Alex, remember?
Yep.
Remember then?
Mm.
And now my wife and I are actively trying to, like, we talk and have lots of conversations about, like, how much is enough?
Yeah.
You know, and God, we're not going to define that. This is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
This is our vision.
Yeah.
But what is your revelation for us?
Yeah.
What do you want? How should we live our lives? How much margin should we have? All those things. So I think submitting that to the Lord is also really good.
Yeah, dude, incredible. It just reminds me too of Guatemala, man. Like people with so little had so much. And then again, you contrast that with America and Western culture. You know, we have, you know, 2-3 cars and we have all these different things in abundance. But mental health through the roof, suicide through the roof, just lack of contentment and peace through the freaking roof.
Right.
So what do we truly have? Like that's the question. Like, you know, and that's a whole different podcast, but it's like, man, it's at this point in my life, I believe in things that are unseen more than the things that I actually see.
Mm.
Cause I'm like, you know, the things we can see, feel and touch, like can honestly crowd our lives. And then we're living very complicated lives when the goal is simplicity.
Simplicity.
The goal is resting.
Yes.
The goal is slowing down. Like we did this over the weekend.
And so good.
The practices of Jesus.
Yes.
You know, we say we believe this man, but we live a lifestyle that's like super contrary to how he lived. And
yes.
It was really good. So
write your own eulogy too. I would encourage you to do that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So that's actually my next question. And as we kind of wrap up, but we're going probably for an hour. That's awesome. Hour 5. How do you want to be remembered? That's a big question. But like,
wow.
Cause then again, if I've always felt like if I feel that, if I know the end goal, I can then work back from there. Like with anything, business and fitness, if I know I want to be remembered in a certain way, that gives me the mission today.
Yeah. I honestly, Brian, like, I don't know if I've ever. That's such a great question.
I'm putting write my eulogy on my task
list. Do it, yeah. Do it can take a while, but like work on it. Have Gigi read it and like read it to other people.
Wow,
that you love and trust.
Memento mori.
Memento mori. You got to be careful with that. The stoicism and whatnot.
Yes. Stoicism. Well, look, but stoicism is wisdom apart from. Christ, really, you know?
Yes. And again, there's a lot of really great stuff that comes with stoicism. Memento mori. I mean, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, like understanding your mortality and being a good steward,
yeah.
But slippery. So
for sure.
To answer your question, what I want to be remembered for it, like I want to be, when I think about my eulogy and he was a man of God. Yeah. Like he lived an upright life. He honored God. He was a good steward. When I think about like meeting my maker face to face, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Mm, wow.
That's really kind of that's my mission.
Mm.
So I'd want to be remembered as a man of God. Yeah.
Man of God. I love the man after God's own heart too. Like that idea, you know, cause we're fallible, right? We're not perfect. We will mess up. We will make mistakes. But yet, again, it goes back full circle where God can use the broken pieces. He uses our stories. He uses us in spite of our failures.
Mm.
All the people, all the characters and the people and the patriarch and, you know, these leaders of Israel and people used mightily by God, powerfully by God, were far from perfect.
Yes.
We if you're talking the comparison game, we're like, I feel pretty good. You know, that gets into the whole, like, you know, what's good enough? And that's why we all need we all need God, but it's just like, yeah, he uses, it's almost like God's wisdom versus the world's wisdom. He uses the opposite of who people would think to write the Psalms.
That's right.
He uses the opposite of what people would think to write the majority of the New Testament and the Apostle Paul. It's like he just does things. It's like, and so again, praise God, he can use us in spite of us.
That's right.
Thank well God. Said.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Praise God
so
for that.
It's the perspective, yes. Man.
Yeah.
So great, good. Dude. I'm writing my eulogy today. You have that. That's a challenge to anyone listening as well. So much to unpack in this episode. So we have to do round two eventually. We didn't even touch, well, we touched fatherhood a little bit. We'd love to pick your brain on that more.
I love that subject.
But as we close, two questions. Mm-hmm. Is how do you stay fit physically, mentally, spiritually? This podcast is all about being, like, getting and staying fit so then you can, again, be effective where you are, impact people, be used of God. Like again, just not running away from that, but running toward who God wants you to be, who he made you to be. So yeah. What is getting and staying fit? How does that look like in your life physically?
That's a great question, Brian. I love your questions. Physically, I think that when you talk about identity, and this is like sometimes I may falter on this, but like just understanding that I am a fit person.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of helps me to create the habits in my life. But it's a non-negotiable for me, because I do understand and believe the interconnection there. Mm-hmm. That they're not separated. Like,
you move your body, you feel better mentally. You have more clarity.
Totally. And as you age, mm-hmm. this has become, before it started out as a vain pursuit.
Yeah, sure.
Okay?
Sure.
Performance.
I don't know what that means.
And, yeah, right.
I've never been there.
Never.
I might not be there now.
I'll have to tell you what that means. performance-wise, obviously, for sports, athletics, whatever it is, and then a vain pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm seeing too, again, the self-improvement stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. Some of the stuff I've learned is I don't have the energy that I used to have in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I need more sleep. Mm-hmm. Sleep hygiene is super important. And I'm understanding that I can affect that.
Essentially.
I can move my body and create more energy,
mm-hmm.
where my brain works better, and then I can affect my business and all the people around me and give more of myself, even with my kids, like understanding, like, okay, I'm going to strategically move my body and be outside and get some vitamin D and all the things, so that when my kids get home, I'm not like the stereotypical dad who's like worn out, beat up, like just low energy. I need to sit down and decompress. My kids come home, they're like, whoa, dad.
Yeah.
Tone it down.
Yeah.
Like,
praise God.
I'm ready to go. Let's go around. Let's go out. We're going outside. We're going for a bike ride. We're doing this. We're doing that.
Yeah.
And that allows me to connect with them too.
Mm-hmm.
And with my wife as well, of course, where I am, where I can create the energy. Naps are big for me right now too. Mm-hmm. That was like a sin for me. Before.
Yeah, in the middle of your workday, you're like, no, oh no.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Power naps.
Yeah.
So physically, it is a non-negotiable.
Yes.
It's not a should, it's a must.
Love that.
I must do it. And I truly enjoy doing it. And now I think I've built the muscle mentally where I can overcome the, you know, well, gosh, I really don't feel like it.
Uh-huh.
And now I've also flowed with it more too, where mm-hmm. I am not as rigid. Who knows? I don't work out at the same time every day. Mm-hmm. I don't do the same routine. I do let it flow more. That's been a big paradigm shift for me too, that I think is super important. There's different seasons for whichever one serves you. But like right now I'm in a season where it's like, my schedule is very flexible. Mm-hmm. I just kind of let it flow mentally.
Before you get into mental, I love the idea of you're not, because you miss a workout, because the schedule is a little wonky, or it's never from a place of like you're punishing yourself. When you're in a vain pursuit, there's a lot of punishment that goes on. There's
well
a lot of
said.
Self,
yes.
self, you know, beat
loathing
up and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a very unhealthy way to be fit.
Yes.
The healthiest way is to what you just said. You have a wife, right? You have kids. You have business, you have responsibility, and you want to bring your best, fullest, most energized and loving self to every one of those. And staying moving, getting sleep, and lifting weights, you know, a shorter list, an incomplete list, helps you do that well.
And it's not self-focus, inward focus. Mm. When it's the vain pursuit, yes, like I just want to look good.
That's the end goal. Yeah.
Then it's all about you.
Correct.
And then all the other stuff, like the self-loathing and beating yourself up and all that stuff comes along with it. But yeah, when it's like, oh my goodness, I got to jam it out because I want to show up for my kid. I want to show up for my wife.
That's it.
You know, like there are times like my wife and I will, my parents are awesome and watch our kids all the time. And we kind of have this, a standing date night, certain number of times a month. It's like, if I'm dragging on Friday, mm-hmm, and it's like 3 o'clock and I know that we got a date at five, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I better move my body.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yes.
For her. So yes, I'm not just like a zombie let's when go. We're at dinner.
Let's go.
Yes, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do this. And then your brain will start to figure out like, oh, all I have to do is move for 20 minutes. Like,
yeah,
you don't have 20 minutes. You're not that important.
Right. Right.
Sorry.
No
to
doubt.
Break it to you.
No doubt about it.
And it just pays these dividends. So that is a massive part. And I can't stress that enough. Like, and how much more important it is now.
Yeah.
And figuring out all of these different tools that stack on that. It's not, mm-hmm, just about the weight training
or the max bench.
Correct.
Right.
No, it's right. not. It's like, what are my goals? It is the flexibility, mm-hmm, it's the mobility, being able to play with my kids.
Energy.
The energy. And then all these other tools like earthing, you know, walk, mm-hmm, around barefoot. You and I talked about that, yep, the cold plunge, the infrared sauna, mm-hmm, all these different things, the acupressure. Mm-hmm. It's like it, you just stack it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like 2%, 1%.
Yes.
Oh, 1.5%, 3%. Yes. And then you're like, wow, I just improved my energy by 25%.
Optimization.
Oh, yeah. So I just can't stress it enough.
Last thing I'll say on that is and that's so much better than the like, and God bless them, the guys who want to get on stage and have that as the end all be all. Mm. Because again, and I'm not saying they all do that. I'm just saying if that is the goal, is to look a certain way, to have the perfect physique and the chiseled abs and like everything, it's like once you get that, know this, it's empty. Number one, if that's all you're looking 100%. For, it's empty.
Yes.
Number two is, I'm not sure about you, but we're the youngest we'll ever be right now.
Yeah.
We're not getting younger.
Yeah, we're not getting younger.
And so, again, that's the idea of this achievement. Like, say, oh, I won number one men's physique. I'm the fittest man in the world. That then becomes, I can see in my own life, as I'm growing and got more wrinkles, more gray hair, it's like you then have to keep this image because you put your self-worth into this.
And your identity.
That's it, bro. So, again, then you're not at peace, you're not at rest, you're not abiding, you're not full of and it's content but not complacent. So again, it's putting your eggs in the right basket.
Yeah, that's a good content, yeah, but not complacent.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't be, you know, you can't be lazy about it. And that again, being a good steward.
Yeah.
And treating your body as a temple, like really truly right. believing that and right. like believing that what you put in your mouth affects your body and your mental state, mm-hmm. and all those
great
all those
segue
things.
Into what we put in our eyes and our ears. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm. What goes in eventually comes out. Yes. So mentally, how do you stay fit, aware, alert, on top of your game?
So I've always been a voracious reader.
Yeah.
You know, like I talked about, like picking up that book when I was 16 years old, I've always read.
Yeah.
So that's always kind of just been a natural inclination for me and desire. So that's easy for me. Right now I use a lot of audio. So whether it's Audible, podcasts, whatever it is, a lot of times when I have downtime, I'm listening to content a lot. Mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of sermons. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I would say, Brian, for me right now, this moment in my life, the mental part is, conversations like this, having meaningful, deep conversations with other men of God, mm-hmm. and challenging each other. Friday mornings is a big space for me where it is like iron sharpens iron. And I'm really, truly like, I'm understanding that more. Like the concept's very easy, yeah. right? And we say that a lot. We throw that verse out there a lot. But right now, that and then it has the byproduct of developing these deep, meaningful relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like being intentional about that, like, hey, let's go grab coffee, but we're not just going to talk about, we're not just going to chit chat.
Surface level.
Yeah. Like, let's go deep.
Yes.
How are you being challenged right now?
Yes.
How's your marriage?
Mm-hmm. What was your worst thought today? What are you struggling with the most?
What are you struggling with? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, are you still doing this thing that you told me you're challenged with?
Yeah.
You know, like holding each other accountable. So that's where I feel sharpened the most.
Yeah. So it sounds like, Alex, the spiritual and the mental do coincide. And that makes sense for me too. It's like, it's kind of a mix of both because, again, my body, my physical vehicle in this life is the temple of God, his spirit within me. So I then worship him as I lift weights. It's a worshipful act. But then yet it is a mental exercise of fitness and discipline because it's not something I necessarily think is fun and enjoyable to like be under the pressure or to put more stress on my body. So it's finding the balance there. But then again, it grows my spirit. I increase in spiritual strength as I become more alive and awake through a practice like that or cold exposure. If I'm meditating on the verse or listening to worship music, it's powerful. So it's mental, spiritual.
Oh, that's so well said, Brian. And I think that too, like you can take these, if you're disciplined in one area, say like with fitness, maybe it's easy for you.
Yeah.
And you're really disciplined in that area. It's like, well, what is it that I do and what mindset do I have there? And why am I not that disciplined in my spiritual life? Mm. Why won't I wake up at 5 a.m. and read God's word, but I will wake up at 5 a.m. and crush a workout?
Correct.
Or what? Insert whatever it is. Uh-huh. And that's where I think you can get really practical using the self-help stuff, using you know these books, Atomic Habits, all these different things.
1% better.
Yeah, and those are great tools. And that's where it's like, okay, how can I take that and apply it to all the different areas of my life?
Correct.
And where spiritual, like for the spiritual part, is like give God your first fruits.
Mm. Meaning?
So when are you your best?
Yeah.
When are you? When are you your sharpest? Your absolute best? Mentally,
morning and night,
and night. Mm-hmm. Okay, so lucky you. Of course, you are. morning, noon, and night. Like pretty much all the time.
Yeah, all the
Good for you, Brian. Well, so,
but to caveat that, it is different. The morning, it's the most special, sacred, special time with God. When I feel my best when I wake up. I hit my knees after I flick the coffee to get ready. Yeah. I'll go hit my knees. I'll say thank you. I will say I want your thoughts to be my thoughts and so on and so forth. And I surrender my day to you. I need you. I can't do it without you. Give me your wisdom through your word. Grab the coffee, sit down, read his word. And also, which was a new thing for me in 2022, praying the scriptures, like communing with him as I'm reading. Because I would just read to read and it's like, I mean, there's still life in that. You're still filling your mind.
Yes.
But it's like reading prayerfully and thoughtfully and saying, okay, what are you saying here? Like, I don't get that, but maybe you can show me later on today. Like, and just that, it's that real relationship.
Yes.
In the morning, that's important. So good. And at night, I will just like most of the time, if I'm in routine, land with some reading of scripture as well. And just kind of have that 5, 10, maybe 20 minutes before bed because I really sleep better.
Yes. And what a great byproduct, you know?
Like tangible, practical.
Hey, and look at that. Do you think that that is just accidental that
right.
happens? Like
right.
God didn't design that? Like, come on. So that's why I say like giving God your first fruits.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of been a practice of mine when you talk about like the spiritual part is – I'm my best in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I have three kids, you know, 8 and under, like our house can be a little bit chaotic in the morning. They're all going to school. So it's like, oh, you know, rush. so getting up before anyone else is up. And the other thing too, Brian, as a father, so me growing up, I distinctly remember almost every morning I'd get up. My dad would be at the kitchen table reading his Bible, like studying Bible, not reading a devotional, not reading a book, not reading the paper. Mm-hmm. He was reading his Bible and it was marked up.
Yeah.
My mom, same thing.
Wow.
Studying, amazing. Studying their Bible. So they didn't have to say anything, ever say anything. It was like, and that stuck with me. And I tell them this, I'm like, you guys don't understand this. I pretty much recanted my faith at my adult life and then came back to the
prodigal
faith.
Prodigal son in Miami Beach.
That's right.
Southeast prodigal son, baby.
Oh, and then and now it that when I came back to the Lord, or when he drew me back and I gave my life to him, there wasn't even the one of the first things that I did is like, oh, I have to read my Bible, because that's what you do. Like, why would I would read God's, you got to read God's word. And they taught me that, not by telling me, but by showing me. So that's what I guess going back, like just the giving God your first fruits, whenever you're your best, give him that. You know, and the discipline part is like, okay, how do I, sometimes I don't feel like reading my Bible, but I know I need to do it. So sometimes you just have to read, and then incorporating the scripture into prayer, like that's something that, that I need to get back to. I did that, like writing out prayers from scripture and making it my own.
Yeah,
they start in the Psalms, like, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts.
Wow.
Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of life everlasting. I think that's Psalm 139, but like that's one of the most beautiful prayers that you can pray every single day.
Bro, that's so fire. I literally just read 139 yesterday outside. I got home from the birthday weekend. Hadn't read scripture all weekend.
So like, you need a little scripture after the birthday
weekend. I'm like, God, you need to search me. You need to search me, man. This is not good. No, but yeah, it's just to your point. It's so a beautiful, beautiful passage. And what I got from it yesterday was, among other things, but it's the one who the one who knows me most also is the one who loves me most. So he knows everything. Man. He knows. He knew me before I was born. He knew all the days of my life. He wrote them out in his book. He knows the words on my mouth before I even say them. That person loves me the most. And so when I feel that, there's nowhere I can hide. There's nowhere I should feel ashamed and guilty, because if I trust in him, there's no fear in perfect love. It's a beautiful truth. And then, of course, it's a bold prayer at the end to search me, to know me, to reveal to me any thoughts that don't align or that, you know, I should change and repent of, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Beautiful.
Point out anything in me that offends you. That's a big one.
So super good, man. I heard amazing stuff. And I think to wrap that last point up, you mentioned the reason why you brought up your parents. Number one, you're the fruits in their life of teaching a man the way he should go, and he doesn't depart when he's older. So you're the fruit of them being obedient. Praise God. And then you as a father are not just teaching and coaching and mentoring and fathering your children in word, but just like John says, let us not love in you know, I forget what he says now. I just read it earlier, but let us love in deed, right? Like, let us not just love in words, but let us show people. And so you're showing them through studying the word and getting up early. It's like, hey, Dad, I see him do things. And a lot of times kids catch stuff. They're not taught things, but they catch stuff through visuals.
Sometimes, they can't hear what I forget what that quote is. I'll butcher it, but like, I can't hear what you're saying because what you're doing is like so loud or something like that. But yeah,
it's just so good. Well, bro, I freaking love you, man. You're a stud. I'm telling you, dude, I look up to you in so many ways. But again, you're a prodigal son. Like, you have gone through such a journey, a roller coaster, and you speak. I mean, this was amazing because I heard some of the same some of the things you said for the first time. But I'm just blessed and I'm grateful for guys like you speaking into my life. So keep going, man. Stay fit for life, and I appreciate your time today.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah. Let's go. Guys, if you want to rate the show, share the show. If this made an impact on you, man, share it with a friend or post it. DM me what your thoughts were. But man, that was incredible. Stay fit physically, mentally, spiritually. Be fit for life. Get 1% better today. And until next time, we'll see you then. Love y'all. Let's go, dude.